Pastor Finch. I really enjoyed that teen group. I always enjoy seeing young people singing, particularly young men up there singing. I'm sure you enjoyed that men's group up there as well. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me just say on behalf of the pastoral staff, thanks to Pastor Sweat for sharing the pulpit with us during this family series, the summer family series. I believe that all the pastors are going to have an opportunity to stand here and share what God has laid on their heart regarding the family and the need for certain biblical principles to be present in our families. So thank you to Pastor Sweat for allowing us all to be a part of that. Two brief items I'd like to read in dealing with the one is dealing with an aspect of communication, and the other is not. So the first one really has nothing to do with communication, but I thought you'd enjoy it. A man was stranded on the proverbial deserted Pacific island for many, many years. Finally, one day, a boat comes sailing into view, and the man frantically waves and draws the skipper's attention. The boat comes near the island, and the sailor gets out and greets the stranded man. After a while, the sailor asks, "Well, what are those three huts you have here?" "Well, that's my house there," says the stranded man. "Well, what's the next hut?" "Well," asks the sailor, "well, I built that hut to be my church." "Well, that's your house and your church. What about the other hut?" "Oh, that's where I used to go to church." So I guess church hopping takes place on stranded islands as it does other places as well. This has more to do with communication. A lesson to be learned from typing the wrong email address. All of us have done that at some time or the other. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Well, because of their hectic schedules, so the husband left Minneapolis and flew to Florida a day ahead, having a difficult time coordinating their schedules. The husband flew to Florida on Thursday with his wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel. Finding a computer in his room, he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address, and without realizing his error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and then she fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Date, October 16, 2004. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you. Then, hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It sure is hot down here." So we need to be careful in our communication, I guess. Communication. Communication is a most vital aspect of any relationship. Consider your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in His Word that it's important for us to read the Bible daily, meditating therein day and night. So we must read the Word daily, allowing God to speak to us through His Word daily. He also tells us to pray to Him regularly, pray without ceasing, casting all our burdens and cares upon Him, for He careth for us. So the Bible clearly instructs us that we must communicate to Him on a consistent basis. If any relationship is to be intimate and close and meaningful, we must have appropriate communication with one another. Consider a husband-wife relationship. It's important for a husband and wife to communicate and to communicate appropriately. The Bible says that God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And our communication to the Lord and our communication to one another, it's important for us to communicate regularly and appropriately with our children, with our boss relationship, or whatever it may be. Communication is a vital aspect of any relationship. So if we're going to have a series on the family, communication must be a part of that series because it's such an important part of our relationship within our homes. In your Bible, you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 29 and verse 30 tonight. As I read verse 29 and verse 30, what I like to do is I'm going to ask you after I read it to there are three or four different aspects of our communication that I'm going to ask you to tell me what they are. So be prepared and let me know your thoughts on the various aspects of these two verses regarding communication. The Bible says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Okay, there are several things that the Bible is telling us about communication in those two verses. What are they? Give me one. What's the first thing that's said here in these two verses regarding communication? Let us have no corrupt communication. We should make sure that the words that we use, the word corrupt here actually means it refers to something foul or rotten, as spoiled fruit or putrid meat. So the communication that comes out of our mouth must be pure and holy and righteous and proper. So to be careful to not let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. What else? What else is seen here? Pardon me? Edify. We're to edify. It should be used, but what is good to the use of edifying. So there's a contrast between the corrupt communication and the edifying communication. So to building up one another, encouraging one another. So you see that contrast taking place there. What else is being said here in this passage? Anything else? Look at the next phrase there. Verse 29, "But that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." I know often whenever we are in conversations with our friends, with our spouse, maybe even with our son or daughter or with our parents, something may be said that we disagree with, and maybe something said that may be corrupt. Maybe something is said that really should not have been said. And our natural reaction in the flesh is to react to that and say things that we shouldn't be saying either. But what the verse is saying here is that we really can be used by God to minister grace unto the hearer by the way that we communicate back. So we must be careful how we communicate back. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." There's not a single person in this room that desires to grieve the Holy Spirit. None of you would. But the Bible is telling us here that our communication can, in fact, grieve the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to recognize that our communication is vital. And as we look at some guidelines, some parameters tonight regarding communication challenges, it's important for us to consider God's principles as it relates to our communication within our home. An introduction on our screen today, we'll see one of the aspects of families that is in peril today is appropriate communication. With all the technology and entertainment opportunities, television, internet, radio, etc., we are failing in our basic communication. Let's look at 10 guidelines that, if followed, will set a Christ-like tone in your family. Now, if we begin this tonight, we're going to look at 10 simple guidelines. They're simple in the sense that it's very clearly described in the Scripture, not as simple in application in our homes. The first one, communication guideline number one, be a ready listener and do not answer until the other person has finished talking. How many of you have violated that principle at some point? Yeah, my hand's up as well. We all have. But look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Also, James 1:19-20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You see, it's important for us to be careful to listen to what our spouse is saying to us. Be a ready listener. And if you're one that is apt to respond quickly, some of you are more witty than others. Some of you may be a little more quick to respond. before your spouse has finished talking, before your child has finished talking. Parents, should we allow our children to finish talking before we respond? Sometimes we as parents get the idea that, well, we're in charge here, and therefore I can say, I can butt in here whenever I want to, and I can let them know what I'm thinking. Well, we should show them respect as well and wait until your child finishes talking and then respond. They may be saying inappropriate things. They may be saying things that they really need to be corrected about, but we still can show the respect to let them finish. Be slow to speak. Think first. That's a novel idea. Thinking first. Some of us struggle with that at times, about thinking first before we respond. How many of you have responded in communicating with your spouse only to wish you could just grab that word back or grab those words back? Has that happened to you before? Has that happened to you? Let me see your hands. How many of you have had that? Sure. Happens to most of us. It's important for us to recognize that we should be slow to speak. Think first. Don't be hasty in our words. Speak in such a way that the other person can understand and accept. What do I mean by that? Understand and accept. That doesn't seem very logical. Doesn't seem very reasonable, does it? How can we communicate in such a way that our spouse or our children can understand and accept what we say? Is there a way that we can do that? How can we do that? And there's silence. Okay, speak in love. We'll talk about speaking the truth in love in a few minutes. But speak with love. The manner, the way that we communicate, the way that we're speaking, maybe the tone of voice, maybe the words that we're using. So we want to say the things in such a way that our spouse or our children or our coworker can accept what we're saying. They may not agree with us, but at least they can accept what you're saying and can interact with you about what is being said there. So the guideline number one: be a ready listener. Do not answer until the other person has finished talking. Be slow to, guideline number two, be slow to speak. Think first. Don't be hasty in your words. Speak in such a way that the other person can understand and accept what you say. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The next verse, Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And I that's what a great reminder that is. And I don't know at what stage you find yourself in your home, what kind of relationship you have in your home. My goal tonight, frankly, is to encourage each of us to set a tone in our home that is a Christ-like tone. Do all of us want a Christ-like atmosphere in our homes? If we violate, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, is that going to set a tone for a Christ-like tone? If we violate that scripture, it's important for us to be slow to speak, think first, don't be hasty in our words, speak in such a way the other person can understand and accept what you say. Guideline number three, speak the truth always, but do it in love. Do not exaggerate. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. It really is important for us to speak the truth. A marriage relationship is really based on trust. If you want to undermine that trust, you be dishonest with your spouse. And you may get by with it for a while, but it's going to undermine your relationship. And frankly, you want to undermine your relationship with your parents, teens, then you be dishonest with them about that. There's that trust account. Ken Collier talks about a trust account that is set up with between a teen and a parent. And the more trust that is built up, the more opportunity you have to develop and be given more opportunities for future development and growth. So it's important for us to develop that trust account. Speak the truth always, but do it in love. In this room this evening, there are some of you who are very, very effective at speaking the truth. I mean, you can cut it pretty sharp. You can speak the truth with the best of them. You really like to speak the truth. You really like to tell someone else what you think about them. Speaking the truth in love is not quite what you're quite as strong with. Others of you maybe can speak the truth. They can say the love part. You really are all about the love aspect of this, but you really can't speak the truth like you ought to. The Bible says we speak the truth and speak it in love. Now, do we have to say everything that's on our mind in our relationship? If we're talking to our spouse, must we respond with everything that's on our mind? I would say you better not respond with everything that's on your mind. Usually, but for most of us, no, of course we don't. So we don't have to say everything. that comes to your mind. In fact, it's wise for you to not say everything that comes to your mind. But when you do speak, speak the truth and speak it in love. Now, the exaggeration, there are a couple of words that we really should never use in our communication with our spouses and with our children. What? Give me one. Always. You always. Now, why shouldn't we use that word in our communication with our spouse? You don't always do it. Because it's not accurate. Sure enough, your ladies, your husband's going to think of that one time that they didn't do it. And they're going to be focused on that one time they didn't do it. And you're just not being accurate about this thing. You're not cutting it right. Always is not. What's another word we really should not use? Never. Why shouldn't we use that word? Of course, for the same reason. You never take out the trash. Well, I did too take out the trash. Just 2 weeks ago, I took out the trash. You know, the word always or never. Now, I wonder how many of you, you don't need to raise your hands to this, but I wonder how many of you use the word always some in your communication with your spouse or use the word never at times. All of us are probably guilty with that. If we want to set the right tone in our home, the Christ-like tone in our home, be careful to not use the word always and not use the word never because they really are not accurate. That goes under the term, do not exaggerate. So speak the truth in love. The fourth guideline is do not use silence to frustrate the other person. Do not use silence to frustrate the other person. What's wrong, honey? Nothing. Or just turn your back and not talking. Has that ever happened to you before? No, you wouldn't admit it right now. Your spouse is beside you, I know. Sure, it happens to a lot of us at times, and be careful not to use silence to frustrate the other person. You know, ladies, the buttons that you can push to really get your husband upset. And men, so do you. Know those same buttons with your spouse. And sometimes we're not as kind as we should be in our relationship, in our communication, and therefore we're using silence to frustrate the other person. Now, are there times that it really is not wise for us to communicate? Are there times when it's just not the best time to enter into that conversation? Yeah, of course. Should we just go in the bedroom, lock the door, and not talk? No, we should say, look, I can't talk. I just can't talk about that right now. I'm sorry. I wish I could. Whatever it may be transparent. If you're upset, if you're angry, then just say that. I can't talk about it right now. I promise you we'll get back to discussing it. We have to work through this thing, but now it's just not the best time. Can we get some space here and talk about it later? What should be the spouse's response to that? No, we're talking about it now. No, of course not. We should give the space there. So it's important for us to not use silence to frustrate the other person. Also explain why you are hesitant to talk at that time and then come back to it later and work through it. So what a great guideline for us to follow in our communication with our spouse. Number five, do not become involved in quarrels or fights. It is possible to disagree without fighting or without quarreling. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. It's certainly important for us to not become involved in those fights. We must keep short accounts with one another. I know of couples that are working through things and they still are harboring problems and harboring hurt feelings from something that took place years ago. Years ago. And it's important for us to keep those short accounts. Work this. That's why the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Keep the short accounts and work through whatever needs to be worked through there. Now, the Bible says, again, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Most of the problems in marriages today take place as a result of pride and selfishness, which are interrelated. And so we're selfish, we're filled with pride, and therefore my idea has to be the right idea. And I'm going to keep fighting until I win. And so it's important for us to have humility in our approach to our spouse, recognizing that they may have some good ideas and thoughts, So consider what they have to say. Do not become involved in these fights. It is possible to disagree without fighting or quarreling. Number six, do not respond in anger. Use a soft and kind response. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Do you want to be a fool? Some of us, we have our discussions with our spouses or even with our children, we're acting like a fool because we're saying things without thinking. We're not thinking first. We're just communicating in the flesh. And we want to grieve the Holy Spirit, then operate that way. If you want to be led by God and have a Christ-centered home, have a Christ-honoring home, then it's important to not respond in anger. Use a soft and kind response. Ephesians 4:26-31-32, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, these last few verses here, pay careful attention to this. I really believe that the verse we read earlier, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Those two verses and these two verses, if our homes today would allow these verses to govern the conversation in the home, we'd be considerably better. It'd be like heaven on earth in most of our homes. Look at what the Bible says. And be ye kind one to another. Just that one phrase. Be ye kind one to another. Think about the last real discussion you had with your spouse. Did you respond in kindness? Be ye kind one to another. We violate that a lot, don't we, in our communication. The Bible tells us to be kind one to another. Now, this is not specifically talking about the marriage relationship, but should we not be kind to one another in our marriage relationship? Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What a great verse to have somewhere displayed in your home. If in your home you would say in the quietness of your mind and heart that no, we don't have a Christ honoring home. Our home, really, there's a lot of strife going on right now. We come home from school, come home from work, and more, there's some fireworks pretty consistently. If that's the case in your home, then get a plaque. They have all kinds of things out there now in Christian bookstore you can put on the wall and keep those verses behind you. Memorize those verses. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ has forgiven you. What a great reminder for us to treat our spouse, to treat our children, for children to treat your parents with honor and respect. What a great guideline for us to follow. Number seven. When you are in the wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. When someone confesses to you, tell them you forgive them. Be sure it is forgotten and not brought up to that person again. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You know, in most relationships, one of you or the other is probably more apt to admit it when you're wrong than the other one is. Now, you shouldn't be doing this right now, but that's usually the case. One of you is more apt to do that than the other. But I can tell you that as both of you, both husband and wife, are walking in the Spirit, and as you're becoming more like Christ, as you're maturing in Christian love, you are both going to be able to readily admit to being wrong. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, pastors preached on this several weeks ago. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, and so forth. If we would simply be led by the Spirit, if we'd be filled by the Spirit, that would take care of most of our problems in our home, if we're walking in the Spirit. These guidelines are biblical and right, and we should follow these guidelines in our communication in our home. But it's critical. One of the very basic steps for us is just to stay in God's Word, deny the flesh, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and grow us and control us. And as we allow that to happen, the natural fruit that takes place in our lives is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness. and all the wonderful things that we would love being married to someone that possesses those types of qualities. Now, let me ask you this question. Don't raise your hand to this. But if I ask you to raise your hands today, if I did, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But if I did ask you to raise your hand tonight, to assess your spouse, are they walking in the Spirit consistently? Don't raise your hand. You probably wouldn't anyway with that question. Are they walking in the Spirit consistently? Do they possess the love? Do they demonstrate the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering whenever you're making mistakes? Does your spouse possess those traits, those characteristics? Now think about how your spouse just assessed you. Would they say that you are walking in the Spirit as shown evidence by the fruit of the Spirit being in your life, being evident in your life? Those, it's important for us to communicate in such a way that when we are in the wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. When someone confesses to us, when our spouse does or our children, tell them we forgive them and so forth. Number 8, avoid nagging. Avoid nagging. Proverbs 10:19, the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifice or plenty with strife. Avoid nagging. Now, are the wise the only ones guilty of this? No, man, we can be guilty of it as well. And we just read what the Bible said about the wise nagging, and that can be true as well. Sometimes men, how can we avoid our wives nagging? Anyone? If our wife is nagging about getting the sink fixed, for example, the kitchen sink is leaking, and it has been leaking for 2 years. And our wife nags us and nags us and nags us. How can we stop our wife's nagging about the sink? Fix the sink. Yeah. So the one thing we as men can do is be sensitive to what's going on in that home and respond. Don't be stubborn about it. Just get the sink fixed. If you can't do it yourself, which I can't, then call someone else in there to fix the sink for you or whatever it may be. But whatever the case may be, can men be guilty of nagging their wives or children? Yeah, you can be. And by the way, when we are training our children, we shouldn't be nagging them. We tell them what to do. If they don't do it, then they get disciplined for it. They get corrected for it, and then they do it correctly. So one of the problems that we as parents have at times, we nag our children, hoping that they'll finally get it instead of correcting our children so that they will get it and do it right. So don't nag your children. Correct them, discipline them, and then expect them to do it the right way. So between husbands and wives, we can be guilty of nagging one another. It's important for us to respond properly, respond with love regarding one another. So don't nag. Number 9, do not blame or criticize the other person. Instead, restore, encourage, edify. If someone verbally attacks, criticizes, or blames you, do not respond in the same manner. Romans 14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what's a tragedy to me? Is to observe marriage relationships when it seems like they're out to get one another. They're at one another's throats, always being critical of one another. Is that the spirit we want to have in our homes? Is that right? Is that the spirit we want to have in our homes? No, it is not. So it really is critical for us to recognize that we all are sinners saved by grace, be thankful for the spouse that we have, and then treat one another with kindness. Back to the verse earlier, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and so forth. So it really is important for us to don't blame or criticize. If there are those in this room tonight that you are a little quick to be critical. Some would say you have a critical spirit. If that is you, then I'm talking to you right now. The Bible is talking to you right now. Don't criticize. The Bible says we should not criticize. We should encourage and build up. Does that mean we're not going to disagree? No, we are going to disagree at times. But we can disagree without being critical. We can disagree and still our spouse understands that we love them, we're committed to them, and we want to help them. But we're not being critical of them necessarily. We're not criticizing them. So do not blame or criticize the other person. Instead, restore, encourage, and edify. I hope that you are known within your family as being an encourager. Encourage your spouse. Does your spouse need encouragement? Yes, he does. Yes, she does. Encourage your spouse. Number 10, try to understand the other person's opinion. Make allowances for differences. Be concerned about the interests of the other person. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Ephesians 4, 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. What great verses for us. How to treat your spouse. How to treat your children. Children, how to treat your parents with kindness. You know, we, in our relationship with within our families, is our family supposed to be a testimony of God's grace to a lost world? Is that one of the roles we have in our Christian family? Yes or no? Yes. So when your unsaved neighbor sees you out in the yard playing, having a great time, enjoying one another, that's to be a testimony of God's amazing grace in your life. And frankly, we're to act not the way some pretty good people that are unsaved. We're to act as if we had the Holy Spirit living within us, because we do. We're to be walking in the Spirit. And I go back to that passage again in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering. And so many of us, the problem we have in our communication with one another is we're not walking in the Spirit. Think of that last discussion you had at home. Was it Christ-filled? Was it a testimony of God's wonderful grace in your life, in your spouse's life, in your children's life? What if your neighbor was in that living room when you had that discussion? Can you understand the importance of proper, biblical, Christ-like communication? If we're to please God, if we're to have a home that is glorifying to God, it's important for us to communicate properly in our homes. Look through the guidelines once again. Be a ready listener. Do not answer until the other person has finished talking. Be slow to speak. Think first. Don't be hasty in your words. Speak in such a way that the other person can understand and accept what you say. Speak the truth always, but do it in love. Do not exaggerate. Don't use the word always and never. Don't use silence to frustrate the other person. Explain why you're hesitant at this time to talk. Don't become involved in quarrels or fights. It is possible to disagree without quarreling. Don't respond in anger. Use a soft and kind response. Admit when you're wrong. When you're in the wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. When someone confesses to you that they're wrong, tell them you forgive them. Be sure it's forgotten and not brought up to the person again. Avoid nagging. Don't blame or criticize the other person. Instead, restore, encourage, edify. If someone verbally attacks, criticizes, or blames you, do not respond in the same manner. And try to understand the other person's opinion. Make allowances for differences. Be concerned about the interests of the other person. I really believe if we as couples and we as families would apply those biblical principles in our families, we'd have a testimony. We'd be a testimony of His grace in our families. Will we not? What a great testimony we would have. What a great platform of influence you'd have in the lives of many within our community, within your home. And frankly, moms and dads, you'd be setting the right pattern for your children and their marriage in the future. You know, they're going to catch more from us than we teach them just by how they see us treating one another. They're going to catch it from us and how we treat one another in the home. Communication. It's critical for us to communicate in such a way, to communicate with kindness, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we have to go to your word. Lord, you say in your word you want us to meditate on your word day and night. You desire that we pray to you without ceasing. And Lord, we recognize that we need you. We operate in the flesh more times than we ought. I pray on behalf of everyone here tonight, Father, and my family and my life as well, that you'd help me to be more like you. Help me in my communication to please you. As I speak to my wife, those that come across my path, help every dad here tonight to recognize the role that he plays to be the leader in that home, but to lead by example in the manner that he communicates to his spouse, the manner that he communicates to his children. Help every wife here tonight to recognize the need to submit sweetly to her husband and to communicate to him in such a way that displays the love of Christ in her heart. Help every child here, every teen here tonight, to please you by treating their parents with honor, with respect, and obeying them as we should, communicating in a loving and kind way. And Lord, as we grow and mature, help us to be the testimony that we should be, both to one another and in this lost community, Father. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday.